Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. We're going to start the show today with a call-in. This comes from Danish, friend of the show, and is very complimentary. And I really appreciate all the kind words you're about to hear, but I promise I'm not playing it for the kind words. No, I'm playing it for the big question he ends with. So stay tuned for that.
Hey, Jeff, this is Danish calling in to say Happy New Year and congratulations on your first year of the new NLB. I know it hasn't been a full year, but you've made it through 2017. I think that's pretty awesome and worth celebrating. I want to say I think the show's been going great. I enjoy listening to it every single day on the way to work. I really like the format. It keeps things really fresh and topical, and the discussions are so cool. Like, I love hearing the call-ins and the way you incorporate them episode after episode sort of as an open dialogue. It's a really special thing you've done, and you've cultivated a really cool community here. I think it's a testament to you and your voice and your positivity in games, so thank you for that, and congratulations on all the work you've done. Now, having said all that, I do think you've dropped the ball. I've enjoyed listening to the last few weeks of Best of 2017 episodes, but I do find the lack of board games disturbing. Where is your Best Board Games of 2017 episode? Come on, you really let me down here.
Thank you so much, Danish. I really appreciate you sending this in. It means a lot to me that this show has value and you guys are listening to it. And I do enjoy the back and forth conversation with the call-ins. It is really, I think, the best part about doing a daily show like this and having the technology that Anchor provides to allow for it. So I'm having a blast and I appreciate you guys listening, but I think you're right. I have let you down. I have let you down by not talking more board games here at the end of the year. So I'm going to rectify that right now, right here, today, with my top three board games of 2017. Now, I should emphasize, I have only personally played a small fraction of the board games released this calendar year, or this last calendar year, as we now sit here in 2018. So there are plenty of really popular, really well-regarded board games that I have yet to try, including Century Spice Road, which I really want to try, but I have not yet. Photosynthesis is another one I'm really dying to try. Azul, another one I haven't played yet. But I have played quite a number of games that came out this year, and I am prepared to lay down my top three of the year. And I think this is one of the best years of video games of my lifetime. So, number three is a game called Ethnos. Ethnos is a great area control game that makes my list primarily because it is so easy to teach. It is so deep and strategic and fun that it overcomes some of its shortcomings, namely its fairly generic and bland art. So, how do you play Ethnos? Ethnos is a game about controlling a map, and it's set in a fantasy world where a bunch of different fantasy races like dwarves and minotaur and elves and undead and all kinds of things you would find in Tolkien-esque fantasy are vying for control of the land. And up to six players are attempting to control areas of the map by playing groups of cards of these races of fantasy characters. And the groupings can be of all the same race or of all the same color of card that indicates they're from a certain area of the map, and then constitute different races. And each of those fantasy races gives you a special power that you can also employ on your turn. But the game plays so simply. You really only have two options on your turn. Pick up a card or play a set of characters from your hand, and that allows you to add some more influence on the map. So you're controlling these areas by having the most influence in certain sections of the map. Where the game gets really interesting is the fact that when you play a set of cards from your hand, you have to discard the rest of the cards you've been holding, and those don't go into a discard pile. Instead, they become available for every other player to play. So if you've been hoarding a bunch of cards in your hand, and then you play a set, you lose all the cards you've been hoarding. And not only that, they become available to all of the players you're competing with. It's a really slick, interesting system that has give and take. This, to me, fits into the Ticket to Ride style slot of something that's super easy to teach, super welcoming, and yet is very, very strategic and deep and has a lot of strategy layer to it. So I really love Ethnos, and it is my number three game of the year. Number two is a massive game, probably the biggest box I own, and it's called Gloomhaven. Gloomhaven was a Kickstarter release I backed myself, over a year ago, and it arrived in 2017, and it is massive. Massive. It was expensive. It was massive. I even bought a box organizer for it for over $100 that organizes the numerous pieces and miniatures and craziness that comes inside Gloomhaven. Gloomhaven is basically Dungeons and Dragons in a box where the game serves as Dungeon Master. So you don't need to have a player playing as the Dungeon Master. Everybody that's playing can participate and be part of the team, which is something I've been looking for a long, long time. There's a lot of games that do that. I don't think any game does it as well as Gloomhaven or has as much going on. Gloomhaven also incorporates a lot of the very in vogue legacy style board game traits, where the more you play, the more the game changes and adapts and grows based on the things you've done in previous plays. So, for example, in Gloomhaven, you start with a number of classes available, classic fantasy classes, and as you play, the character that you've created and your teammates have created, those characters also grow and level up and become more powerful, but at a certain point, they can retire. In fact, at a certain point, they're forced to retire, and new classes are unlocked in the box, and you start new characters with new previously unavailable abilities. And your old character actually becomes part of the lore of the world of Gloomhaven, and you can actually encounter that character in the game world. That's just one tiny part of how you affect the game world. You also start with this big overmap that you add stickers to as you encounter things and uncover quests, and you can do things in any order. And the thing that's so cool, too, about Gloomhaven is the combat system. Basically, it is Dungeons & Dragons focused on combat, but the combat system in Gloomhaven is really slick. It's all card-based. There's no dice rolling. And the cards themselves that you have as your abilities, you have a set of cards for each class that constitute your abilities, those all are split in half and have a top half and a bottom half. And you play two cards every turn, and one card you have to play from the top half of the card and the other card from the bottom half. It doesn't matter which or which, but that's the decision you have to make. One has to be the top half and one has to be the bottom half, which makes for very interesting decision making on your turn. And there are so many wonderful little touches with Gloomhaven, how the enemy mechanics are controlled, how every little thing seems to have been thought through. There are sleeves for only displaying the information you need at any given time. The miniatures are awesome. There are so many surprises and fun decisions to be made. I could go on and on and on about Gloomhaven, and I probably will have to devote an entire episode to it at some point to give you a deeper look. But it is a massive game, a huge release for 2017, and my number two board game of the year. Which leads me to number one. And for me, that was an easy decision, because as much as Gloomhaven is Dungeons & Dragons in a box, but focused on the combat side, where it is a number of combat scenarios with interesting decisions, My number one game is like an adventure in a box where the focus is exploration. And that game is called The Seventh Continent. You've probably heard me talk about that game. If you listen to DLC, I actually had an interview with the designer, or one of the designers of The Seventh Continent. And it is a game that has absolutely blown me away. I cannot believe it exists. It seems impossible, and yet there it is. Again, The Seventh Continent is another Kickstarter game, and in fact, you can't even buy it in stores. It was only available via Kickstarter. It made over $6 million on Kickstarter, and I suspect there'll be another Kickstarter if you're interested in purchasing it sometime down the line. But it is so, I think, difficult and big and intense to produce that they're not producing it for stores. They're only producing it in these limited runs for Kickstarter. So what is The Seventh Continent? It is an adventure set on an entire continent that has been created for this game. It is one static, created, artistically designed continent that is made up of hundreds and hundreds of cards. And you are dropped down on one tiny portion of that continent, and you start with nothing, and you have to survive. But you're able to do so many things. You can explore and craft items and look for things and hunt and encounter puzzles and find structures and people and things all throughout this island. The map is massive and just completely covered in interesting things to do and find. And the systems of the game are absolutely brilliant. You and your teammates, it is a cooperative game, so you and your teammates all share a deck that basically works as your stamina, as your effort. And when that deck is exhausted, you lose the game. So you have to do things to keep bringing things from the discard pile back into that deck. But everything makes sense. Everything thematically really follows from the central premise that this deck is your effort. So things that are more difficult to do on the island take more drawing of cards. And you're always able to draw as many cards as you want to try to accomplish something. But you're having this interesting push and pull of exhausting yourself and your teammates by exhausting the deck, but you can also craft food and rest and do things to replenish the deck. But it never feels like a chore. It never feels like a mechanic that you have to service. It always feels thematic and interesting, and you are doing so many fun, interesting, cool things over the course of your journey on the island. There are specific quests to accomplish, and the game has a save system so you can play a little and put it back in the box very easily. Everything is so elegantly designed, beautiful art, tons to do and see and find. It is not only the best game I played on a table in 2017, it's one of my favorite tabletop experiences of all time. It's the game that I've always dreamed about. What if a board game allowed me to explore a place and made it feel like I was actually doing the things? It's incredible. The Seventh Continent tops my list for 2017. Seventh Continent, Gloomhaven, and Ethnos are my top three board games of the year.